Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Indestructible.
Brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in the name of Yahushua, meaning God's salvation. You know, I sometimes think about, you know, Jesus in the old school days when he would be walking around, and I mean, his name literally means God's salvation. So Yah being God, modern day equivalent, and Shua, salvation. So when people would see Jesus, they would say, oh look, there's God's salvation. There's a nice name. The name that is above every other name. And at the name of Yahshua, at the name of Yahushua, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he, Yahshua, is Lord. So I greet you in that name that is above every other name, that name by which the demons fall and tremble and yield and get the hell out of your way. I greet you in that name that is above all, that will trump every one of these just ridiculous worlders that think that they actually are controlling, thinking that they're actually putting in place their little system and their things. You know, they have this concept and this idea of what it is that they think they're trying to put together. And they're going to get sort of a shell of what it is that they think that they want. But it's going to be shot so full of holes by the time they actually achieve this thing. It's going to be ridiculous. Anyways. It's just funny watching them. I'm sorry. It's entertaining. Okay. Anyways, I have a nice cup of hot chocolate here in the Midwest. Balmy 51 degrees today in Fahrenheit. I'm not sure the Celsius conversion. Everybody's into the weather in the Midwest. Agricultural state. And yeah, in the meantime, New York is getting hammered by snow. Hopefully everybody's able to dig out of there. But yep, the weather is different all over the world. People that were warm are cold, people that are cold are hot, and we just keep moving around as God would send us to and fro in the earth. So yeah, you know, I was been thinking about this a bit, and you know, okay, a few different things sort of coming up with people right now, and a few different things that we talk about for a little while today. One is, you know, there's some of you out there that have been writing in, and you've been struggling and dealing with the issue of fear. And now, okay, fear is, it's a real thing, and it's something that needs to be addressed, because you have to learn, we have to learn, every one of us, how to relate to something that is a very natural and a very real emotion. Scriptures tell us that perfect love drives out all fear. You know, there's actually in scriptures, and I have a personal preference for the King James Version. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But no, the thing for me is God speaks to me out of that. I like it. And so that's what. But in the King James Version, 385 different mentions of that word in there. Now, I started looking through those, and I got pretty far into them, you know, after I had to go and meet up with another friend. But, you know, something that I was kind of noticing, just a pattern, is that, you know, there's things that you are supposed to fear. There's things that you are, and I'm just, now this is for the followers of Christ. So those of you that check in that are assigned to watch us and to monitor us, this is not for you. You're on a different side, so don't worry about it. But for those of you that are followers of Christ, for those of you that know this reality, that know this truth, for those of you that are going to live your eternity in the kingdom of God and not, you know, in hell, where those that don't walk with Christ end up, for those of you that are here in this window, there's a few things about fear. One, there's things that you are supposed to fear. Two, there are things that you are not supposed to fear. And three, there's a way that God uses fear himself, and he relates to it as well. Okay. First of all, things that you're supposed to fear. As a follower of Christ, as a follower of God, you are only supposed to fear him. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear the situations and the circumstances that you're dealing with. You don't have to fear the things that are going on around you, because God is in control of all of that. The only thing that you have to fear is to fear him. Actually, here. Go to Psalms 19. Let me get there myself. I have it here. Psalm 19. Thank you, Barbara Marcotti, for the lovely, lovely Bible. I love this thing. All right, Psalm 19 and verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Okay, so the fear of the Lord is clean. I love that. I love the way it says that. You know, there's a lot of dirty fear out there. To put it in my... That's the way that it manifests through me, and the way that I would say it. There's a lot of dirty fear out there. There's a lot of fear that is unclean, that is polluted, that is contaminated, that will rot your soul, that will bring you into a place of bondage, that will paralyze you. The fear of the Lord is clean. There is a purity in the fear of the Lord. When he is the only thing that you fear, and you have nothing else that you're afraid of, because perfect love drives out all fear, you're going to be fine. And there is, if you have that fear in your soul, if that is the one thing that is governing you as far as the way that you relate to fear, you're fine. You're going to be okay. The people that do the things that they do in this world and in this world system, by and large, because they've been twisted in a certain way. Now, the demons are afraid of God. They're afraid of the Lord. But the worlders that have been blinded, that have been twisted, the bulk of them don't have that operating the right way. And because of that, they do so many of the things that they do. Because if they knew the eternal ramifications and consequences for their actions, they would be on their face. But because they live in an illusion that they think they're going to get away with this. Look, nobody gets away with anything. Everybody reaps what they sow. No one gets away with anything. Not a person, not a soul. Everything you've ever done, everything that you've ever thought, all of it is brought into account before God. Thank God for Jesus, for Yahshua, for our salvation that's in him. Thank you for the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Thank you for that truth, the blood that covers over, that washes us, that makes us clean and white as snow, that he's the substitution for all the stupidity that we've done apart from him. If you didn't have that, he would be stuck having to pay for all of that. Thank you very much, Lord, for saving us from ourselves. The fear of the Lord is clean. Only fear Him. Now, things that you are not to fear. You are not to fear man. You are not to fear death. You're not to fear... Death has no sting for the follower of Christ. We transition. It's all right. You're not to fear what tomorrow may bring. You're not to fear your situations, your circumstances. You know, fear is a weapon. Fear is a weapon used in military strategies. Fear is a weapon used in psychological warfare. Fear is a weapon used by the demonic. Gosh, how many times demons use this thing? They use fear as a means of paralyzing people. How many people have missed the abundant life in Christ because they were so afraid of what God called them into? They were so afraid to take that step of faith that Christ called them into that they never moved on what God told them to do, and they missed the whole thing. They missed life because they were afraid to take what God offered them. Because what? Because they thought they would miss something. Because they thought that they just didn't trust Him. They didn't trust that Jesus was who He said He was. So they stayed. They stayed back. They held back. And then in the end, they look back in remorse and in regret. And now we have to find a club on Sunday to get together with a bunch of other sellouts where we can all pat each other on the back and say, no, 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 you're okay. You're okay. God didn't really mean that. You're all right. Look, I sold out too, and I'm all right. We're all okay, right? Yes? Yay. Okay, good. No, you're not. Sorry. You're all dead. Didn't work. And you know it. You know it because when a real one comes across your path and you see the life they live in Christ, you hate them for it because they didn't sell their soul and you did. Anyways, not our problem to fix. Yours, your problem, and your, it's not your problem, your issue, your concern is to walk this thing out for yourself. You can't do this for somebody else. So, you know, take heed for what it is that God has called you to. Be diligent. Be sober. Be clear-headed. And make the choice in line with what the Spirit of God has told you to do. If you feel the emotion of fear, sometimes that occasionally happens because you may be tapping into something. You may be praying for a situation and then you may feel what they're feeling. Whatever it is, put it before God, because perfect love drives out all fear. So when you feel that, when you feel that emotion, when it is touching your spirit and your heart, bring that before God. Don't let it paralyze you into a place of indecision, paralyze you into a place where you lose faith, lose trust, lose heart. No, when you feel that emotion, bring it before God and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. And because I feel this right now, Lord, show me how to relate to this, because I know that perfect love drives out all fear, and I know that you're in control. So Lord, I give this over to you. Show me how to deal with this situation. Okay. So, only, are we on the same page here? First of all, you only fear God. Secondly, you do not fear man, any man of any position, Russian, American, South Asian, Sri Lankan, it doesn't matter, does not mean no man, no demon in hell can warrant to be feared. Because why? Because you are under the authority and the blood of Christ Jesus. That name that is above every other name is applied to you. And that name is above all. And it trumps all. So why would you be afraid of that which is below and beneath the authority of Christ Jesus, and you walk with Him. You're called by His name. Those things have no place and no hold over you. The only way they can have any hook in you is if you permit it by your free will, and by your choice, and by your decision, and by the decision you make in your own mind. That's why they work so hard on your mind. Because if you can be convinced that you are something that you're not, you will begin to walk in a lie. And the world system works very hard to get you to walk in a lie. It works very hard to get you to believe a lie about who you are, what you're about, who God is, who the world is, who the devil is. God will clarify, but you have to ask, seek, and knock. You have to ask for the truth. You have to seek that truth. You have to knock, and that door will be open. Okay, so the fear of the Lord is clean. You're only supposed to fear Him. You are not supposed to fear man. You are not supposed to fear this world, this world system, anything that they got, none of it. You can put your shoulders back. You can go into any situation, you, just you, and you can rip the whole thing out to shreds if the Spirit of God's sending you in there. Because you know why? You've got the entire backing of heaven with you in everything. When you walk with the Spirit of God, there is nothing in this world that can trump what you have. Your entourage is huge. The cavalry that you ride with, they can decimate anything that the enemy would bring. You just have to go through Scripture and see point and point, case and case, time and over and again, where God makes this point just so you can realize that that's the reality you walk in this day. So, fear God. Do not fear man. Do not fear anything in the situations and circumstances you're facing this world system. Now, God also uses fear. He, in Scriptures, puts the enemies of His people, particularly those that are walking with Him, He puts their enemies, the enemies of Him, in fear of His people. How many times God did this, where He allowed the fear to come on the enemies of His people so that they were afraid of the people of God? And when you walk with Christ, when you walk in that light, the demons themselves will be terrified of you. If you walk in the truth and the reality of who you are in Him, they fear you. Do you realize that? I've been in meetings where, and situations, and just one's coming back to mind even right now, where when those demons begin to manifest and they realize who you are and it comes into a natural manifestation, you know, they run away from you. They run the other way. Like, I literally, that's what I'm thinking of right now. This demon was literally tripping over chairs, backing up, running to the other side of this room just to get as far away from the Spirit of God as it was flowing through me. Because why? Because they are afraid. They're afraid of the light. They're afraid of the truth. Because what? It exposes. It has power. It is trumps everything they have. And they know it. And the moment that the lie is shattered that they tried to perpetuate to you, the moment that that bluff is called, they've got no other cards. They've just got to give it up. They can't do anything at that stage. So God puts them in fear of you. And you can walk in the boldness that you can go into any one of these situations. You know, Paul, when he was in jail, and even though he was in jail in the natural, every time that Agrippa called him up and would talk to him, he got afraid. He got afraid when he talked about the judgment to come and all of the rest of it. Now, okay, Paul and Agrippa have both departed this earth. who do you think is in a better situation right now? Okay. Yeah, and so King for a Day is not exactly in the best situation right now. And there's a bunch of world leaders today that will go and join him soon enough. Soon enough, all of you world leaders that refuse to bow your knee before the King of Kings, all of you, you'll all face the reality and the eternal consequences for the choices and the decisions that you've made. Not a one of you will get away with anything. Okay, so, yes. All right, so, just, here's the thing about fear. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not let this trick of the enemy control your mind and your heart. Do not let it captivate your mind and your thoughts. Here's a few practical things. One, get in the Word. Get in the Scriptures. Shut off the computer. Shut off the TV. And open up your Scriptures and read. And ask God to sow that seed into your heart. Let Him, by His Spirit, open it up to you. Ask Him to open it up to you. If you have trouble sometimes understanding the Scriptures, ask Him to open it up to you. Before you start, pray. Because you know why? You know, when you read that, those seeds are planted. The seeds of the Word are planted in your spirit, and they grow. They mature. They come to an amazing bloom. And it pushes out this other stuff. It pushes out the mind control. It pushes out the brainwashing that people are inundated with. Now, to my friends in America, because I'm here right now, for a window, you're surrounded by this here. This bombarding of your mind has worked to become so sophisticated. You have to take heed of the gateways for your mind and your spirit in this place, because they're not going to stop. They're just working harder and harder to get inroads there. You can make a conscious decision and a conscious choice to make sure that those things don't pollute your mind, because you can relate to it in a particular way, but you've got to allow it to go through a filter that is set by the Holy Spirit and by the Word. God's Scriptures are a filter which you can overlay every circumstance and situation and make decisions as the Spirit of God would lead you through them. It's not the Scriptures are not a rote thing that you regurgitate. The Scriptures are a living, His Word is alive. It's a living document. And so and then the Word lives in you. So with the Scriptures, He will show you and bring them back to your remembrance. In every situation that you're in, here's what applies, and here's how you relate to this circumstance, so that you are not deceived, you are not tricked. Here's the way to walk through this minefield and this trap of the enemy. And then point blank, He'll tell you, if you're listening, go left, go right, go straight, yes, no, and I love you. I'm in control. He knows what He's doing with you. Okay. Along these same lines of dealing with fear and fearing not, you know, God is I Am. And He is... Right, He's in control. But you know, this onslaught against the mind is relentless. This world will come at your mind till the day that you leave this life. This world system is going to be coming at your mind continuously. And those that have been brainwashed into it, they become part of it because their thinking is the same as the world. So you have to make a decision, you know, and to discipline yourself to go within. Now, here's part of this issue. They, when they, the way they relate, and the one of the focuses of the world system is to take you off of I am, to take you off of who God truly is. So, if you can be distracted, see, the kingdom is within. John 17, verse 20 and 21. In fact, here, not John 17, I'm sorry, Luke 17. Let me just go there really quick. Luke 17 and 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So God is I am, and God is within, because he dwells in the temple of his spirit, which is you. The follower of Christ Jesus, he dwells within you. So now, he desires for you to go within and commune with him, and to stay within, and to live in intimacy with him. And then as you go through this life and through these experiences, to filter those through his word, through his spirit, so that you know how to relate to the things that you are in. Now, in that process, look at what the world does. It tries to get you wrapped up in either worry about the future, all of these things that are coming up, all of these problems, all of these issues, get you worried and distracted about that. People worried about retirement. And all, okay, your breath is on loan from God. If he doesn't allow you to have that for the next minute, you're out of here. So the world tries to get you sucked up into thinking about your future. Well, if it can't do that, okay, now, well, all right, that then gets you stressed about your past, to get you worried about all those stupid things that you did, and to get your mind all wrapped up in that drama. Look, your future is in God's hands, and your past is under the blood. Your past is under the blood of Christ Jesus. There is no past for those that are in Christ Jesus. You have no past. You are an eternal being right now. Today is the day of salvation. Whatever it is that you think you've had and been through, or what, it does not, it has no hold on you. It only has a hold to the extent to which you give it a hold. It only controls you to the extent that you allow it to control you. You can choose this day to be free of those things. And there's any spot that it's not, then put that before him. Because, again, God is I am. And so when God is I am, he wants you to live into that reality of right now, who he is, here, now, this moment, I am. You are here, present with him where he is. Not wrapped up in worrying about the future. And God dealt with that in Matthew 6 on even the most basic level of things that people could naturally be worried about, realistically be worried about and stressed about. He said, look, here, even in the most basic thing, because you need to eat, you need to have something to wear, do not take thought for what? The morrow. For sufficient for today is the evil thereof. Don't get sucked up into this. That's what the pagans do. That's what the worlders do. Is they're worried and stressed about all those things. And the past. Boy, I tell you, there are so many self-help gurus out there that will make a career and suck off your livelihood to try to help you deal and cope with your past. Look, it is a healing process. God will take you through it. Hold on to Him, and He will take you through. That said, do not be controlled by it. Do not allow it to own you. And do not get sucked up into this selfish cycle that all of these people appeal to in order to own you. To own your mind, to own your thoughts. You know, I tell you, some of these bookstores. I was in one the other day, and it was morbid curiosity. I walked by. You know, they have the little rack of books where, or that's actually the big rack of books where they have like all those bestsellers or whatever. The stuff that people that surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. The ones that write those books, those are the ones that are usually on those racks. And so I walk by one of those, and here's Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers. The cotton candy Christians love those guys, and so this guy walks up to me while I'm there. And I pick up one of those Joyce Myers books, and I was just like, all right, you know, I know a couple people that are, you know, ask me some questions about that. And I'm flipping through it, and he asked me, you know, well, what do you think of this? And I said, you know, honestly, I don't like it. And he asked me, well, why? I said, well, here, look. And I opened it up to the front, and I said, here, just cover up. Here's this index of everything. Just cover up this section right here. Here's the main stuff. And, you know, it's basically Timothy Robbins or any one of these self-help guys. Now, what she's done is she's tapped into a target market of women that have self-esteem issues, that have, you know, certain ways they see their body and certain ways they see, and a lot of them too that would like to have a man that would carry their purse around. Now, and she's gone into that, she's spiritualized it, and she's got a lot of women that have jumped on this thing with her, and it's become a cult. It's a personality cult. So anyways, here's the top part. I show them what this is, and then I say, here, look, if you just take these two spots here, just take out the word God. It's not the word Jesus, by the way, it's word God. And it's definitely not Yeshua. But anyways, just move that out just for a second. Everything in there is pop psychology, is humanism, is this here self-help fluff. I mean, come on, people. But you know what? It's anyways. Why? If you want truth, why would you pick something like that up? But this guy actually, he wanted truth. And he actually desired it. And so he was like, when we actually went through it, and we talked about it a little bit, and then he said, well, you know what, he's like, well, what do you recommend? And I said, well, okay, let's go over, let's take a look at what the rest of these, and I said, you know, actually I told him too, I said, the books that I, you know, that are any, you know, that are decent, the ones that have something real in them, they're usually not on the top shelves. You usually got to go to the bottom shelves and in the hard to look places because that's where they usually get stuck. You know, there was some Dietrich Bonhoeffer there. I said, this is all right. You know, check Watchman Nee. Get yourself some Richard Wurmbrand, good brother. A.W. Tozer. These are some of the real ones. These are the guys that actually should be writing books. These are the people that actually have been called by God for what they do. They're not looking to make a target market out of you. They're not looking to sell you a product. They're not the first thing that pops up on, if they had a home page, it wouldn't be the click to cart. Merchandisers. Oh, would to God that this stuff would just get wiped off. Because you know what? I get angry because that stuff stands right in the way of truth. Close, but no cigar. And if you can't see that, if it doesn't grate against you, if there's something inside of you that does not see the spirit that is behind that, you better check yourself. It's not good enough. It's not truth. You know, Jesus went into the temple with a whip and he cleared out all those guys. All those guys that made merchandise of the truth. My house shall be called a house of prayer. These guys go in and set up shop. Sell you their 12 steps. Why is it always a 12 steps? Why do every one of these guys have 12 steps to this? 12 steps, 12 steps to get you thin in Jesus' name. Listen. Listen. Have no part in that stuff. You know why? Because what it does is they sow that into you. Because you open yourself up for that junk. And then it goes in and it pollutes your mind, it pollutes your thoughts. And then, you know what ends up happening? You end up defending a person and a personality cult. You end up becoming a follower of a person and not Christ. Look, do not follow me. Please do not follow me. I do not want a following. You know what I'm doing here? I am in this journey and this walk with Christ. He's pulled me into this thing, and along the way, he's had set up the way for me to be able to share some of what it is that I go through along this thing. Hey, I put it out there. Do with it as you wish. I bless you in Jesus' name. I just, here, this is it. This is what it is that God's given me. That's all it is. You know what? I have not. Somebody wrote me the other day and they said they're trying to figure out, you know, the purpose of this website, the purpose of this thing. Look, what it is, what God would have it to be. It might not be here in a week. It might be here for 100 years. I have no idea. The purpose of it is an act of obedience as God would move by His Spirit. Period. The results are completely in His hands. We're going and learning as we go. You know, that little expansion part of it where, you know, we give a little bit more narrative about some of these audios. That, you know, somebody wrote in the other day and said that would be something that would be helpful, appreciative. We tried. We said, okay, let's see if we can do something like that. Because you know why? You're interacting with us on this. And as we're going, we're trying to just do as... Because we do all things as unto God. We try to have as good of, you know, as we can with what we've got to work with. We try to put it out there. But that's it. Act of obedience. No strings attached. No... we're not selling you anything. We're not merchandising you. We want you to walk free. We want you to be what God intended you to be. You know, that would be our joy, is if we saw you take what it is that God's called you to do and be that. Original. Be that person that God made you to be. Not some shell. Not some scared, sniveling Christian hiding. But God is I Am. They'll sell you a 12-step program and get you wrapped up in all kinds of shenanigans. Materialism. They'll get you wrapped up in that. In everything external, And then because you're around a group and a lot of people tell you you're okay, you think you are. But you know what? You know inside something's missing. They always do. And you know why that's... And that's why they hate you so much. Because when you show up, you reveal that it is. See, when they get in your presence and the light of truth shines through you and they realize that something's missing because they see the hole in their soul by the light that's shining through you, that's why they hate you. That's why you have to go, they have to get you out. They have to move you out of the way. They have to stamp that thing out because you know what? You wrecked the party. But that's all right. For this reason, Christ Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. We're in a destruction mission right now. We destroy the kingdom of darkness for what it is. We reveal things for what they are. When God allows us, when His Spirit says, okay, this cup is full, this is done, this is tagged, this is out, when God allows us that, it's done. See, this is what they're afraid of too. Is that, see, they know that. The ones that are, not the low-level guys. The guys that are the grunts in their side, just the foot soldiers they have, they don't necessarily completely understand it. They see the repercussions of it. But the higher-level ones within their system, and you'd be surprised who they are, but we know who they are, because God makes them known. They understand that the moment that the Spirit of God would allow you to, and that He would pull their card, they're done. And that's the risk that they take when they cross us. But they also know that they're compelled to do also because they have to, because that's what Satan pushes them into. That's what the demons that are working within them push them to, is to go after you, is to attack you, is to antagonize you, is to test you. But then God turns it around and flips it. And all of a sudden, it's over for them. All of a sudden, it's done. All of a sudden, everything that they've worked so hard to put together for 50 years comes crumbling down in a moment. And it's over and it's done. And their cord is cut, and either they die very quickly, or they're cut off and they're given maybe a window to maybe repent and then they die. Or they're destitute and their own system shuns them. And they're left like that on the side of the road as somebody else takes their slot. All of them trying to climb the pyramid to get as close as they can to Lucifer, the prince of their system, hoping that he will just maybe carry them in on his coattails. But he's a liar, he's a deceiver. All of them end up in hell with Lucifer as well. Lake of fire, no other place for them. Eternal trash, burned throughout eternity. There's no place for it. You know, there's no place for them. Props on a stage, serving a purpose. When this thing's done, they're scrapped. Waste material. Eternal garbage. For all eternity thrown away. See, that's the line that Lucifer's in. The devil's in that line. He knows that. So he's working very hard to get a lot of takers to go with him onto that side. He wants to take as many as he can with him. But this far and no further, when God says stop, they stop. When God pushes them back, they go back. When God destroys them, they're destroyed very quickly. There is a rock cut without human hands. Vision in the book of Daniel comes and smashes the representation of all of the world's systems, pulverizes it to powder, the wind blows so there is not even a trace of what they once were. None of it exists, and that rock grows and fills the whole earth. You are part of the kingdom of God. You are part of the truth. You are part of that life that grows and fills the whole earth. You are part of that which lasts throughout eternity. So why would you fear something that is temporal? Why would you fear a system that will crumble? Why would you fear a system that is destroyed into pieces and pulverized by the hand of the God that you serve? Why would you allow them to own anything in your mind? Why would you allow a thought that they introduce to be even given any credibility when God trumps all of it? Do you know that you can walk into any situation, any place, led by the Spirit of God, and you have authority over whatever you are in and whatever you are around? Do you know that you can go into one of those places, they flash a glance over at you, and in Jesus' name, in the Spirit, you can bind that, and that person is bound? Would to God that you would move in the power that God has put in you. God is I am. Don't get wrapped up in future distractions. Don't get bogged down in a past that for you is under the blood. It's under the blood of Jesus. And if you are in the moment and you are thinking about where you are right now, because God is I am, the world will pull you and try to get you to focus on the externals, and that which is without, God is calling you within. So you need to allow the Spirit of God to take you within. Look, let the personality cults, let the Joyce Meyers and the Joel Osteens of this world just I bind those lies in Jesus' name. Those false representations of this truth. Those false representations of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Of what the truth of what it means to follow Christ really is. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that those things would be revealed for what they are. That those bondages over the minds of those people would be broken in Jesus' name. There is no man that stands in your place, Father. There is no woman that can exalt herself and make herself a queen in the eyes of you, Lord God. All are brought low. Every knee bows and every tongue confesses in word and in truth. In spirit and reality. Lord, there's many that claim you and then seek to use you to further their own agendas in this world. And Lord, you know who they are. They are bare before you. Father, you see straight to the core of their heart. You know where they come from. You've rejected many of them. You've rejected, Lord, I pray for those that have a shred left in them, Lord God, that they could be brought to repentance, Father. Lord, there's some, Father, that you are calling out. Lord, there are some, Father God, that are realizing the error, Lord God, realizing that their soul is in the balance, as well as the souls of those that have trusted them, trusted in a man and not you. And Lord, there are those that are being salvaged, and Father, I thank you for them. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for those that would come around, that would turn around, Lord God, that would actually be real. I pray, Lord God, for them. I pray, Lord God, that you would save them from themselves and from what they're doing, Lord God, to others. All right, I just want to pray. I want to pray for all of you. Lord, I pray, Father, for my brothers and my sisters in Christ right now. Lord, I pray, Father, for them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're in control. I thank you that you're in control, Father, of their circumstances and their situations. I thank you, Father, that there is no fear in you. Lord, that perfect love drives out all fear. Lord, you use it as a weapon against your enemies. And Lord, the fear of you is clean. And so, Lord God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, the only thing that they would fear is you. That your perfect love would drive out all fear, Lord God, that would be in them, Father. From, Lord, just places where their minds have yet to give over those thoughts. And, Lord, to be allowing, Lord God, your Spirit to govern and to lead and to guide them, Father, into all truth. I pray, Lord God, that the Word would rise up strong in each and every one of them, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, Father, for the revelation of who you are in every circumstance, in every situation. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, you have shown yourself strong in your people. And I pray, Father, bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. God bless you. And yeah, we'll catch up with you again really soon. So, hey, talk to you soon. All right, bye.